हरिः ॐ
सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 7, chapter 83. So, Sri Bhadra said, "My dear Draupadi, of his own free will, my father invited his nephew Krishna, to whom I had already dedicated my heart, and offered me to him as his bride. My father presented me to the Lord with an Akshahini military guard and a retinue of my female companions. My ultimate perfection is this, to always be allowed to touch Lord Krishna's lotus feet as I wander from life to life, bound by my karma." Sri Lakshmana said. Right, so we see is that in all these, as is mentioned, the Acharyas mentioned, that they all have that mood of that service to the Lord. Right? Only Satyabhama we see has that aspect of friendship. But all the others have that mood of that service. Lakshmana said, "O Queen, I repeatedly heard Narad Muni glorify the appearances and acts activities of Achyuta, and thus my heart also became attached to that Lord, Mukunda. Indeed, even Goddess Padmahasta chose him as her husband, after careful consideration, rejecting the demigods who rule various planets." Right? Because when they churn the milk ocean, then we see that that Lakshmiji then came forward. She came forward, so then she went to pick someone. And so after, you know, proper deliberation and that, then she chose Lord Vishnu. Right?
They are purely Vaikuntha.
It's not a pure, it means, otherwise how are they wise if it's pure Vaikuntha? But it's servitude mixed with the conjugal. It's a conjugal, but they have that more servitude. In other words, they're more right wing, so. And only Satyabhama then will have that left wing aspect.
Yes.
But the point is it's Dwarka. So it's that mix. You have the five rasas there, and it's a mix of majesty and sweetness. Right? So he's bringing out the individuality that's there, the sweetness, the niceness that's there. But it has that aspect to it. We're not emphasizing that too much. All they're pointing out is that all of them are manifesting more of this one kind of mood, but Satyabhama has a slightly different mood. You know, so it just gives that variety, that taste, so we can appreciate it. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Lakshmana then spoke. She thought that the other queen spoke the stories of their good fortune very briefly because of shyness. Though the offense were full of the highest bliss, she then thought that perhaps Draupadi's and her own wedding were most attractive. Being proud of these two weddings, taking advantage after the senior seven queens, she began speaking of her own wedding in detail without restraint, right? Because the others gave a very brief description. And then Lakshmana, because hers was more like Draupadi's, right? Basically, they were the same except for one detail. You know, and so that detail meant the difference between Arjuna and Krishna. Because in other words, the first one only Arjuna could do, and the second one only Krishna could do. Right? Arjuna got close. He got through, but he only touched the target. He didn't actually hit the target. Is that
Even the Karna was there. He just pierced the covering, but he couldn't even touch the target.
Yeah, and I think Duryodhana was able to shoot it through, but couldn't hit the target. like that. So that's the point. It was designed just for Arjuna. This was designed just for Krishna.
Yes.
So even Arjuna came, he couldn't.
Yes.
I had heard of the birth from Devaki of Krishna, full of all powers, Achyutasya, and heard of his activities in Gokula, and his form and qualities as well. So, Bhadra became attracted to him because of knowing of his birth, since he was close as a cousin. How did you hear about him? I heard through Narada constantly and became constantly attracted to him. The word ha indicates joy. Because it's a short ha, right? When it's a ha, that, it's not that. We're not talking about that one. We're talking about the short ha, right? Like when you laugh, ha ha, not ha ha. Yeah, yeah, that's not it. But it is not proper to be attracted to someone who has many other lovers, right? So it's a on considering this, she says that he alone was her goal. Lakshmi, holding the lotus, having many attractive gestures, on considering carefully, Su and Sam indicate her ability to do so. She rejected Brahma, Shiva, and others completely without even looking at them, and chose Mukunda at the time of churning the milk ocean. I became attracted to him alone with similar consideration. Or, my heart was attracted to Mukunda, fixed on him alone after careful consideration, with lotus in hand, giving up all the great kings, I chose him. Right, so we could say, no, but he has so many lovers, but she's just fixed on him. Because if he has so many lovers, then one might consider, well, what's the position of the lover themselves? So she's bringing out that I was just focused on him. So it doesn't matter that there's others, I'm just focused on him. This is also suggested by taking the second part of the verse as the actions of Lakshmi. She speaks the pastime in brief in this verse and gives details in the following verses. Right? So she gave, you know, a brief. The other ones just gave brief. She gives the brief and now she'll explain it. Sri Lakshmana continued. My father, right, because the others have already spoken. She's the last, so she can afford to keep speaking. Because it wasn't like Draupadi was looking at her watch or something. Right? So... my father, Brihatsena, was by nature compassionate to his daughter, and knowing how I felt, O saintly lady, he arranged to fulfill my desire. Just as a fish was used as a target in your Swayamvara ceremony, O queen, to assure that you would obtain Arjuna as your husband, so a fish was also used in my ceremony. In my case, however, it was concealed on all sides, and only its reflection could be seen in a pot of water below. The BBT purport states, Arjuna is famous as the most expert bowman. Why then could he not hit the fish target at Srimati Lakshmana's Swayamvara ceremony, just as he had done once before to win Draupadi? Srila Sridhar Swami explains, the target at Draupadi's Swayamvara had been covered only partially, so that a marksman could see it if he looked straight up the pillar on which it was placed. To shoot Lakshmana's target, however, it was necessary to aim by looking up and down at the same time, an impossible feat for any mortal. Therefore, only Krishna could strike the target. You know, that is... he's, in other words, it's the Swayamvara, but you make it so only one person can win. But all the other kings, at least they came and had a shot. Right? Sri Lakshmana continued, hearing of this, thousands of kings expert in shooting arrows and in wielding other weapons converged from all directions on my father's city accompanied by their military teachers. Right? So they came with their gurus also just to make sure they were, you know, up to par. Right? My father properly honored each king according to his strength and seniority. Right? So again, the culture that even you're doing something so great, you still have to deal with each person individually, according to their position. You know, if they have a position. If they're just general, then you deal with them generally, but they're still taken care of, that they all have their spots, all have their facilities and all this. Point is it's personal. You have to take care. Right? Not that, oh, we invited so many people but didn't take care. Right? Then, those whose minds were fixed on me took up the bow and arrow and one by one tried to pierce the target in the midst of the assembly. Footnote 2. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, they were all properly honored by my father according to courage and years. All were satisfied. With pride they tried to pierce the fish. They made great efforts to pierce the fish in the assembly in order to attain me. Or they thought of me in the assembly. Thus they were not qualified because of their impudence. Right? Because they thought they were so qualified. Right? Rather than being humble that this is something difficult. They just thought of her and that, you know, like that I'm going to hit the target. You know, how you say, you know, like the guys always, you know, I'll win this for you, you know. No, they're going to win it anyway. You know, like that, but just they happen to just say that to sound good. So that's the point, it's the impudence. Some of them picked up the bow but could not string it. And so they threw it aside in frustration. Some managed to pull the bowstring towards the tip of the bow, only to have the bow spring back and knock them to the ground. A few heroes, namely Jarasandha, Shishupal, Bhima, Duryodhana, Karna, and the king of Ambashta, succeeded in stringing the bow. Right? Because even Jarasandha couldn't string the bow for Draupadi. Like that. Because it's a technique. It's not just strength. Now, he's the strongest one here, except Bhima. And Duryodhana. Yeah, okay, you have three of the strongest people there. But it's technique. Like Karna very easily strung the bow, where Jarasandha couldn't, even though he's much stronger. Because it's about the way that it's done. Right? It means if it's a lesser bow, of course, by brute strength, you can string it. But otherwise, it's technique. So here they could all do. So either he learned something more, or just this one was a little easier than the one used for Arjuna. They succeeded in stringing the bow, but none of them could find the target. Then Arjuna looked at the reflection of the fish in the water and determined its position. Then he carefully shot his arrow at it. However, he did not pierce the target, but merely grazed it. Right? So that just shows how great he is. That is so close. So that just, because if all these great persons can't do it, but Arjuna could graze it, see the target and graze it, it doesn't make it look like, you know, she's superior because she's married the Lord. And Draupadi's married Arjuna. So it's not a problem there. Because if the only one greater than Arjuna is Krishna, that's not a problem because Draupadi's a devotee of Krishna. So it won't have a problem there. Footnote 3. Arjuna did this on purpose in order to spread the glories of the Lord, Srila Jiva Goswami. So even though he's empowered by the Lord, because he is the bowman. Because we see when Narayan Rishi come out, then Narayan uses his chakra. Though he also uses the bow, but most of the time he uses chakra. While Nara will use the bow and arrow. So then from this it means he could hit it. But he didn't, just out of respect for Narayan. Because the girl was there for Narayan, not for him. So he just went to, one, do better than all these others. So it puts everything in proper perspective. But not as good as the Lord, out of respect for him. So does that make sense? So he got it just perfectly. Right?
Even in the case of Draupadi, like, for our feelings, generally in relationships, it's like, my husband is great or my brother is good. Krishna becomes a cousin brother.
Oh, okay, yes.
Both way, I will win.
Yeah, either way. Yeah, that's true. He was saying that for Draupadi, it doesn't matter because either her husband's great or her brother's great. You know, because cousin brothers are just brothers. So, in either way, she wins.
Okay.
You know, because you only have a great because of Krishna. I have a great because of Krishna and Arjuna. So, you know, so she still comes out on top. After all the arrogant kings had given up, their pride broken, the Supreme Personality of Godhead picked up the bow, easily strung it, and then fixed his arrow upon it. Right? So after he lets them all do first, then he'll come out. Because if he had come first, oh, but I could have hit it. Yeah, but he went, you know, what to do, you know, like that providence. And, but that, no, he lets them all go, so it's obvious, no, none of you are qualified. As the sun stood in the constellation Abhijit, means, you know, the high noon, He looked at the fish in the water only once and then pierced it with the arrow, knocking it to the ground. Footnote 4. Each day the sun passes once through the lunar constellation Abhijit, marking the period most auspicious for victory. Right? So everyone started before, but when it came to Abhijit, Abhijit means when it's straight up. So then that's when Krishna stepped forward, and that's when the victory happened. You know, it's not because of that, just Krishna arranged it like that. That adds to the flavor. As pointed out by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, on this particular day, the Muhurta of Abhijit coincided with the high noon, further emphasizing Lord Krishna's greatness by making the target all the more difficult to see. Right? Because the target is then, if you're looking straight up, and the sun's straight up, that means it's more difficult. So that shows that no one would be able to do that. As Arjuna would have done before, when it's a little bit off, so he could still see the target. But here, it would be blinded by the sun. So he just looked down once and then shot. Kettledrums resounded in the sky, and on earth people shouted, "Jaya, Jaya." Overjoyed, demigods showered flowers. Just then I walked into the ceremonial ground, the ankle bells on my feet gently tinkling. I was wearing new garments of the finest silk tied with a belt, and I carried a brilliant necklace fashioned of gold and jewels. There was a shy smile on my face and a wreath of flowers in my hair. Footnote 5. Srila Sridhar Swami states that Sri Lakshmana was so excited by remembering how she attained the Supreme Lord that she forgot her natural shyness and went on to describe her own triumph. Right? Because the other ones were aware of their shyness, so they just said that much and stopped. Because otherwise, we have a chapter on each one of them. So it's not that the story is so short. You know? So it's just that, you know, just their shyness. So then they, because all the others are there, but she got so much ecstasy that she just forgot about it. Right? But we notice is that what she's explaining here, the particular details, does it not invoke experience? So that's the whole thing. It's not other technical points. It's those things that bring out the experience, the taste. Right? That's the difference in the descriptions. You know, they're not just talking about the technical points. Like she just mentioned Abhijit, so you know, so the difficulty, the auspiciousness, the difficulty. She doesn't get into the technical of that. Right. Does that make sense? Yes.
Alright, so speaking of experience, that she right now experiences Sattvika Bhav, obviously.
Yes.
But then for us, we don't experience that. We just hear and it sounds cool, it's nice, but then we just carry on.
Yes,
it's
yes.
It's not our experience. It doesn't
reflect No, us. Because for us, this is all Sambandha stuff. Yeah. You know, and taking part in hearing it's Abhideya. But it doesn't necessarily give that means there is some taste, otherwise why are we here? Right? But it doesn't give the taste like what they're getting. But the point is, hearing about it with faith about those who have that taste, that's what develops our taste. So it's by that association. Otherwise, how do you come in contact with that? Otherwise, we'll think it's something else is important. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why the association is important.
And you see, Maharaj, right, that many the queens hear from Narada Muni before.
Many queens heard from Narada Muni, yes.
Before.
Yeah, because he goes and because he's always talking about the glories of the Lord. Yes. And at the same time, he does not that he doesn't visit these kings. But at the same time, he knows that these are, you know, the Lord's queens, so yes. Then he goes specifically to their places and starts talking.
Yeah. Hearing can be said is the first step.
Hearing. Yeah. Hearing's always the first step. That's why it's Shravanam, then Kirtanam, then Vishnu Smaranam. Because unless you've heard, how do you remember? And it's by you heard, you speak, that's how you remember. So like that. So it's always a matter of trying to hear about Krishna. That's why it's the main point. Chanting. The other ages, it's hearing and chanting, right? But then that you add on to that remembering when they have a good memory. or as hearing and chanting and then applying that within the yajna, when they can do that much technical difference. You can just meditate on the Lord, you don't get into much yajna. You know, you just do the simple little nitya homas that you do. As a Brahmin, you do morning and evening yajna. That's all you do. You don't have to do more than that because you can meditate upon the Lord. Right? And then in the Treta, then they're able, they still have that purity and that focus, but not enough to be absorbed in meditation like that. They need ritual. So then they use the ritual. But they have the piety to perform that ritual. So they can take a yajna, may take them a full year. It takes 9 months to set up. Then for 3 months or something, you're doing the yajna. Right? And so then it's very elaborate and everything. And so, you know, it's all happening. Right? That makes sense. So then from that, that's what happens when you go too much into the masculine side of explaining. You forget where you are because you get so caught in the technical. Okay. No? There we go. Yeah, cool. Where are you going with this? So they were just trying to point out the greatness of it. So then they're able to do that. But they qualify. Then in the Dwapara, then they can worship the deity. They can't do those big yajnas and that. They can. Some of them, like Yudhishthira, can do in that, but it's not the main thing. Worship the deity is. But in the Kali Yuga, we don't really have the qualification for any of those. We can't remember anything. We don't have the piety for rituals. And definitely, you know, doing all the deity worship and all that, then, you know, it's a problem. So then we just hear and chant, which is, you know, in other words, it's hearing and chanting, and then plus three other things. So they're all there in all the ages. It's just which is the prominent. But they're all hearing and chanting. Right? Dhruva Maharaj is meditating, but he's chanting Om Namo Narayanaya. Right? So the chanting is going on. But it's meditating. Right? So when you don't have the qualifications of that focused mind, that piety, and that commitment of action and all those things that dedicate, then you just hear and chant. So then by hearing and chanting, that starts the whole process. Then is going, then we might find, you know, we might be able to remember something, you know. Like that, you know, by later as we go in the course, we may introduce you, have to memorize some shlokas and stuff like that. But at this point, we still haven't because the memory hasn't quite kicked in yet.
But maybe now you can make only hearing.
Hearing, no chanting. But then how would we all just hear, no chanting? Because somebody has to be chanting for you to hear.
You chant. Yeah.
Okay. There was a shy smile on my face and a wreath of flowers in my hair. I lifted my face, which was encircled by my abundant locks and effulgence from the glow of my earrings reflecting from my cheeks. Smiling coolly, I glanced about, then looked all around at all the kings. So, like, you know, being cool has always been there. Right? You know, just before it was on the higher levels. Now it's down on the street. But it's still famous. Like the queen, you know, in London, she's known for being cool. Like that. It's just the way it is, you know. So, yes. I slowly placed the necklace on the shoulder of Murari, who had captured my heart. Right? Footnote 6. Her locks fell over the edges of her cheeks, since her locks were tied in a special way near her ears. I looked at the kings present with disdain, and then looked at Krishna with cooling, smiling glances. With attached heart, I placed a garland that I made with my own hands, Swamalam, for him on the shoulders of Murari, killer of Mura, qualified as the greatest hero. Generally, when we talk about putting on the garland, how do we describe it? Where does the garland go? Around the neck. Because then you're putting it over the head. But if we say putting it on the shoulders, what does that mean? Huh? That's there, the shiver like that, the attract. But it means when it gets to the shoulders, then you kind of go down the garland. Putting around the neck, you put it around the neck and leave it. But here on the shoulders, it comes down and then it's... Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense? No, you're French. This should make sense. Does this make sense? Yes? Even she understands. You understand it?
Yeah, I got it.
You got it. You don't understand it. Very good. You want to go down the path you want to go? That's good. Okay. You get to the shoulders. Yeah, why did I go into this? No need. We'll leave this for Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. So, moving on. Just then, okay, did we finish that one?
No.
The face had abundant, locks around them, and its cheeks shone with earrings. Or the face had cheeks shining with earrings and abundant locks. Right, so locks are there and they're shining because of the earrings, or the face is shining with that and then the locks are around that. Whichever way you want to look at it. Shishira means cool or faint. Like means Shishira is cool, like winter is Shishira, because also the sun is cool, but it's also the sun is faint. So that faint glance, a subtle glance, but it's a cool glance. Again, moving on. Okay. Going, Ara, Arya, with attracted heart, Hrid, to Murari, I place the garland on his shoulders. This indicates their mutual love. Srila. Srila Jiva Goswami. Okay. I guess we have to, I say, wait for the last chapters of Nectar Devotion. Yes. That was 6, okay. Just then, there were loud sounds of conch shells and mridanga, pataha, beri, and anaka drums, as well as other instruments. Men and women began to dance, and singers began to sing. The leading kings there could not tolerate my having chosen the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Draupadi. Burning with lust, they became quarrelsome. The Lord then placed me on his chariot, drawn by 4 most excellent horses. Donning his armor and readying his bow, Sharanga, he stood on the chariot, and there on the battleground, he manifested his 4 arms. So now we see as it turns in, it goes into his victory on one, but now it becomes, so that's the battlefield on that aspect, on affection. Now it becomes the battlefield for the kings. Yeah. Okay. Footnote 7. With 2 of his 4 arms, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Lord Krishna embraced his bride, and with the other 2 he held the bow and arrows. Right? So he's taking, because he's taking care of her. Why her experience has to change? Then 2 other arms, he'll fight with everyone else. Right? So that's why you'll see, you have that aspect. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever seen it, you have a deity of Krishna playing the flute with Rukmini and Satyabhama, but he has 4 arms. So he has the Shankha and Chakra, and with 2 hands he's playing the flute. Ever seen that?
Yeah.
Generally, if you've been in south is where you'll generally see these deities. So I think it's not a problem. So 2 arms are for his consorts, and 2 arms are for, you know, whoever else is there. Like that. So if you have a chakra and a lotus, then that means for the devotees who aren't on that platform, there's, you know, the devotees who are aspiring, and then the chakras for those who oppose. Right? If it's a, yeah. So that's generally what would be there. But in this case, it was bow and arrows, so then not looking so good for everyone else. Garuka drove the Lord's gold-trimmed chariot as the kings looked on. O queen, like small animals helplessly watching a lion. The kings, so again, the similar kind of thing is he just goes on the chariot, puts her there, puts on his armor. You know, I'm sure they can put it on fairly quickly, but still, he puts on the armor and they're getting agitated, starting to argue with each other and this and that, and then gets on, then he starts to drive. Then only it's like, hey, you know, same with like Krishna with Rukmini. is first to get on, and then they're so bewildered by her beauty that they don't even notice. Wow, you know, she's come out, now she's come out of the temple and all that, walking down the steps with her maidservants, such beauty and not. Now Krishna's come with his chariot and is also pulling up there. And, you know, a very nice scene. And now he's helping her up onto the chariot. And now he's driving slowly away. And it looks also like that, wait a minute. So it takes him a little while. So. The kings pursued the Lord like village dogs chasing a lion. Some kings raising their bows, right? So it seems like they're being heroic, but it's dogs, right? You know. Some kings raising their bows stationed themselves on the road to stop him as he passed by. These warriors were deluged by arrows shot from the Lord's bow, Sharanga. Some of the kings fell on the battlefield with severed arms, legs, and necks. The rest gave up the fight and fled. The Lord of the Yadus then entered his capital city, Kushastali, Dwarka, which was glorified in heaven and on earth. Right. Have you ever heard that before, Kushastali? The city was elaborately decorated with flagpoles carrying banners that blocked the sun, right? So many flags are there, and so high. Because you have the big houses, because generally, big palaces are generally 7 stories. It seems to be the standard. And so then on top of that, then they have big flagpoles with flags. So, so you have so much. It would. As Lord Krishna entered, he appeared like the sun god entering his abode. My father honored his friends, family, and laws with priceless clothing and jewelry, and with royal beds, thrones, and other furnishings. With devotion, he presented the perfectly complete Lord with a number of maidservants bedecked with precious ornaments. Accompanying these maidservants were guards walking on foot and others riding elephants, chariots, and horses. He also gave the Lord extremely valuable weapons. Thus, by renouncing all material association and practicing austere penances, we queens have all become personal maidservants of the self-satisfied complete Supreme Lord, right? So after describing hers, then she brings it all back that all of us as queens. So she's like concluding, being the last of the queens to speak. Then she concludes then. What happens? Yes.
This is very difficult because now their self-esteem dropped down very...
Their self-esteem?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but what to do? But that's what people want, because it's like this. How do I make my... How does a common person make himself feel better?
Put others down.
Yeah, put others down, because they can't lift themselves up. Because that means you have to put in the effort. Because if I feel bad, then I like feeling bad. Because it's about me. I'm feeling bad. And who's made me feel bad? Others. So it's not my fault I'm feeling bad. So I can enjoy feeling bad. Right? That's the meaning of lamentation. Right? I can lament, you know, knowing full well as I'm not the cause of it, others are. You know? So then you can do that, and by that you bring others down. But if I actually want to lift myself up, I have to give up the lamentation, because ignorance means you do nothing. See what needs to be done in the situation and actually make the effort. So that's what you see as the others do. So the lamentation for them is not a major thing. You'll see it come up now and again, but it's not a constant. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, huh? Yeah, it'll be short. It'll be for some thing, and then it'll go away, because then you have to do something. While others can basically, the only reason they have to do something, because if they don't go to work, they won't make any money, so they won't eat. So that's why they have to go to work. But if they can still lament and do the work, how much they can get by lamenting, and the others will, like this, then they'll do. And when it gets too old for them, then they just do the work and have to keep the lamentation to themselves. Is that...
They could manage it somehow or other, I was thinking, just to keep their dignity somehow or other.
Who?
These Kshatriyas.
The Kshatriyas can. But I'm just saying your common person can't. So that's why you have to bring everybody else down. You're saying, why don't they have? Because, so, but what I'm saying is, why did we get to that? Then when did it switch? When did it basically switch, you know, in practical form from the Kshatriyas being in the leading position, right? and the Brahmins to those who are rich in the mass. Right? Not me.
To do.
Yeah. Yes. So it's with all these revolutions to bring down the king. So to do that, the businessman have enough ability to do that? No, because they don't control the armies, they don't control this, so where are they going to get power to overthrow the kings? From the people. So that means you have to get the people inspired. So that means you have to bring down the kings, say that they're bad for them, because otherwise the people naturally respect authority. Right? But they bring up something that makes the people not feel very inspired, and then that way they bring them down by volume. And then once it's done, then the businessmen go back to taking over and exploiting the common person worse than the kings were. Because the kings are actually responsible. So they may exploit, but at the same time, they can't go too far because it doesn't, the kingdom won't work. But for the businessman, he can exploit as far as he can get away with because he's not responsible for the government working. So it's actually worse for the public. Though it sounds better, but, say, does that make sense? Yes, so we'll stop there on that detail. Yes.
Are those kings who oppose the Lord?
Are those kings who oppose the Lord?
Yeah. Are getting elevated?
If they're, it means they're being chastised by the Lord, so they get purified. But the maximum they can get is liberation. Right? Because you have to have some devotion. But seeing the Lord and getting killed or punished like that, they'll be purified. So then, now the natural next step is to take up devotion. Because if you're liberated, you have no previous karma, so therefore then they can take up devotion. Right? So it's always an advantage. The BBT purport states, in the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srimati Lakshmana became embarrassed when she realized that she had been talking about herself. Right? She just went on, And so she spoke this verse praising her co-wives. In her humility, Lakshmana claimed that Krishna's queens, unlike ordinary wives, could not bring their husband under control, and thus they could relate to him only as servile housekeepers. Right, because they don't have that control. The sense of possession is there, so they deal in that area, but they can't actually control. It's very obvious. So that always keeps that servant position. That's the whole move. So that's the whole point, is why that aspect of renunciation and spiritual understanding is so important in the relationship. One is that actual perfection of relationship is connection with Krishna. That's the main aspect. But for the mechanics of a husband and wife, then it has to be based on the principle of the husband has to be detached, but interactive. Because if he's attached, then the wife controls him, so what's the fun? So it's a matter of she can't control him, but he is involved, is in interactive. Does that make sense? So that's why the training in brahmacharya and this and that, so even if someone's to get married, the better they're trained as a brahmacharya, the better they'll be as grihastha. That's how it works. Does that make sense? So that it appears that you control will give some sense of security, but that you can't control, that will give the freshness and also put the relationship in perspective. So then that's why then they speak like this. Like, so we see is Satyabhama's possession is stronger, therefore that friendship aspect is there. Yeah? In fact, however, since the Lord's queens are direct expansions of internal pleasure, potency, Ladini Shakti, they fully controlled him with their love. Right? So by that they control, but nothing by anything secondary. That's what has to be understood. So it's the affection that the control is, not by the secondary. So that's what we mean. That's why if the relationship can work very nicely, but at the same time, it is progressive spiritually. Right? Yeah. Rohini Devi, speaking for the other queens, said, after killing Balmasura and his followers, the Lord found us in the demon's prison and could understand that we were the daughters of the kings who Bauma had defeated during his conquest of the earth. Right? Because he had captured 20,000 kings, so then these are all their daughters. The Lord set us free, and because we had been constantly meditating on his lotus feet, the source of liberation from material entanglement, he agreed to marry us, though his every desire is already fulfilled, right? He doesn't require anything, so it's just the exchange of bhakti that's interesting. O saintly lady, we do not desire dominion over the earth, the sovereignty of the King of Heaven, unlimited facility for enjoyment, mystic power, the position of Lord Brahma, immortality, or even attainment of the kingdom of God. We simply desire to carry on our heads the glorious dust of Lord Krishna's feet, enriched by the fragrance of kumkuma from his consort's bosom. We desire the same contact with the Supreme Lord's feet that the young women of Braja, the cowherd boys, and even the aborigine Palinda women desire. The touch of the dust he leaves on the plants and grass as he tends his cows. Right, so they see that even they appreciate those in these higher positions. So they're referring to Lakshmi, they're referring to the residents of Vrindavan. So the point is this is their taste. Sometimes it always comes up about but can we change rasas? And why do we want to know if we can change rasas? Because we want to know if we can move to something higher. If I find out that I'm a blade of grass in Vrindavan, can I move up to one of the other rasas? Is that the sense? But we see from this explanation, we've seen this before, is that whatever position one's in, one's satisfied. Because if you're situated in your natural loving relationship with the Lord, then that relationship is perfect. You don't need something else. So it's not about social prestige. Right? That's not what it's about. It's about just pleasing the Lord.
It seems that even this desire to change the rasa is actually based on envy. And it's a material concept, because to understand pure devotee, we can appreciate higher rasas, as we see here.
Yes.
And being satisfied in their own position.
Yes. Yes, I would say is you'd also have to throw in a bit of the desire to enjoy, because we think that that position will give us some better return, whatever it is of value.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's our reason for thinking that, just I have to be the best, I have to be right there, everyone will recognize my position, or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's that enjoyment one will get from that. And so it's just a matter of how strong it is. Envy would be the beginning state, but then later jealousy, because we want to attain the same position. We want to replace the person as envy. If we want to attain the same kind of position, then it'll be jealousy. You know, if it's not, doesn't have that mood of service. But it's about our enjoyment, but when it's about Krishna's enjoyment, then that humility, then one can attain that position as a servant and servant and servant. So whoever has a better position, we're serving them, so it doesn't matter.
Another difficulty seems to be is that we actually, even amongst Vaishnavas, we offer the highest. But then we look down at everybody else, it's like this guy, they don't know us,
yeah.
They don't understand what they can't even conceive what's highest. They always put up all us or this.
Right.
So it's not an easy thing to deal with, especially in a society of neophytes.
Yes. But one of the things that can help is, since we're working on time and space, that we're basically looking at it, that here's the rasa, where our rasa is up here, and then all these other people are all down here. But the actual way to balance that is, that the highest rasa is there, okay, then Braja, Bhav, like this. And then others are on Vaikuntha, which is below that. Yes, it is. And who's taking that up? Or, generally quite qualified people, a few people who are less, but, generally set the examples for everybody. But we see they're coming from all very, generally fairly good backgrounds, pious backgrounds. But Lord Chaitanya is that is being offered to who? The highest is being offered to the lowest. So we're down below these guys. So if you add that into the equation, it's not just, okay, we're up here, we're down. No, we're from down below whatever they are, and by Krishna's mercy, we've been offered this. So that will help reduce it a little bit. You know, if we remember, you know, our background. Because when pride comes up, that's where background is remembered, like in Roma Harshana Sutta. He's not proud, no one thinks about his background. But as soon as pride comes up, then you remember the background. Why? What's his position to be proud? He's a Sutta. You know? So that's the point. Because, see, as being a Sutta means it's mixed, so you act mixed. But he was acting as a pure Brahmin, so that was fine. But then when Balaram came, his pride, then he showed the nature of a Sutta. So then he's in a lesser position. So why is the Sutta taking this position of being the authority over all these qualified Brahmins and sages? It's wrong. Therefore, Balaram chastised him. So, yeah. You know, so we can all do that. It's called the yuga. It's not like, you know, I mean, how you say it? Yeah. PPP purport states, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti reminds us of the jealous rivalry that always existed between the queens of Dwarka and the gopis of Vraja. The gopis considered the sophisticated women of Dwarka the most serious threat to their hold on Sri Krishna. Confessing their anxiety to Uddhava, Kasmat Krishna Ihayati Prapta Rajyo Tata Hitaha Narendra Kanya Udva Vahya. Why should Krishna come back here after winning a kingdom, killing his enemies, and marrying the daughters of kings? Right, because they just consider we're just cowherd girls. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-45. Rukmini and her seven chief co-wives consider themselves so fortunate in their relationship with Krishna as he appeared in Dwarka that they did not especially desire to see him as he is in Vrindavan. But the 16,000 lesser queens, after hearing Uddhava describe Sri Radha's excellent qualities, became attracted to touch the dust that falls from Krishna's feet onto the grass and plants of Vrindavan. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti indicates that some commentators give this as the reason why, after the Maushal Leela, these 16,000 queens were stolen from Arjuna on the road by Lord Krishna himself in the guise of 16,000 cowherds, who then took them away to Gokula. Because they had that desire. And so then, but that arranged, he said some commentators say that. You know, we're not saying this is the one, now you shouldn't go around saying, yeah, this is the, because you see how subtly they do it. It's one of those, it can be brought out, but it's not the main point. It's not the main point of the pastime. So they're queens and Dwarka and all that, but because of that, their lesser position, then they're seeing themselves. They have that humility in which they'll appreciate greater, more the gopis in Vrindavan. Yes.
This, however, doesn't mean that the study Bible was changed.
Means they're having that position of wives of Krishna, but if they saw it like the gopis, then they following that footsteps, then they could that aspect becomes completed. But it doesn't mean that they're not part of the Dwarka Leela. Because Krishna always has 16,108 queens in Dwarka. They're part of that scene. But it doesn't mean that they don't have that other aspect that's there. Right? Because they see themselves subservient to the queens in Dwarka and same time to the gopis in Vrindavan. So they can be part of both scenes. Just that's not brought out because otherwise it creates all these things like this and that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why it's there, because unless you understand the tattvas and this and that, then we'll fight over the rasas trying to fit it into our shoebox of experience. So, you know. So, yeah.
It means that always the same jivas are the...
Always the?
Same jivas.
Same jivas. Why do they have to be jivas? They're the queens. They don't have to be jivas. They're internal potency.
Only they are eternal potency?
Why wouldn't they be internal potency?
For those who are developing in this, I don't know, I guess.
Means, here, listen. Are you interested in developing a relationship with Krishna in the Dwarka mood, in the conjugal rasa? If you're not, why worry about it?
Maybe yes.
Then maybe good luck.
No, but in general, also in Vrindavan.
The point is this: if you're interested in that, you can become a maidservant of these queens. You won't become the queen because he has 16,108. That's it. There aren't more. More are the maidservants. In Vrindavan, then you have unlimited gopis. There's millions of them. The queens, there's 108. And if you are attracted to serving in that mood like Rukmini and the other queens, then you can as their maidservants. Because if the friend of the friend, then is the friend. So you have the maidservants have a conjugal relationship with Krishna, but through the queen. So if that's of interest, then there you go. Chapter 84. The sages' teachings at Kurukshetra. Pratigya. By worshipping all the elements and their predominating deities, one can gradually become free from the influence of envy. But all the sins of an envious person can be nullified immediately simply by serving a great soul. Right, so that by going through the Vedic process alone and with great determination, you can gradually start to reduce the influence of envy and all the sins over so many lifetimes. But if you simply serve the Supreme Lord, or in his case, serve a great devotee, then it can immediately be nullified. That's the position. Otherwise, how do Malechas and Yavanas act as pure devotees? And do so much preaching and so many things? That's because of this. So we have to understand the greatness of the Lord and therefore the greatness of the devotees. Right, so that greatness of the devotees is then very, very special. Yeah. Does that make sense? So this point of being the feeling as the servant. So now where are we going to connect in is this servant. Right? So from the queens, then we hear how they're seeing themselves as the servant of the Lord. Right? And then we can be, as we discussed here, the servant of those queens, or they can, you know, in this case, then be the servants of the gopis. Whatever it is, that can all be done. Right? So then, that's the whole point, is that then we can become servant of the Lord. How? By surrendering to the spiritual master. Right? To the sages and that. So we're hearing from them. So that's the whole point. Chapter 84 summarizes questions and answers. Vasudeva asked the sages question 10:41 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:84:29. Sri Vasudeva said, "Obeisances unto you, the residents of all the demigods, please hear me, O sages. Kindly tell us how the reactions of one work can be countered by further work." The sages answer in verses 35 to 41. Adhyaya Prakashita. This chapter describes the arrival of great sages at Kurukshetra to observe the auspicious occasion of a solar eclipse. The sages' glorification of Lord Krishna and Vasudeva's enthusiastic performance of sacrifice. On the occasion of a solar eclipse at Kurukshetra, exalted ladies like Kunti, Draupadi, and Subhadra got the chance to associate with Lord Krishna's queens. Seeing how much the Lord's consorts loved their husband, the ladies were struck with wonder. As the women talked among themselves and the men did likewise, amongst themselves, not with the ladies, great sages headed by Narada and Vyas arrived there, desiring to see Lord Krishna. The various kings and other leading personalities who were sitting at their leisure, including the Pandavas, Krishna and Balaram, stood up as soon as they saw the sages. The leaders all bowed down to the great souls, inquired about their well-being, and worshipped them by offering them sitting places. water and so on. Now, if we said everyone bows down, then you'll just think it of at everyone. You won't think it. But here, if we said all the leaders bowed down, that means all everyone following bowed. So everyone bowed down, but what's the point in this being brought out? All these are great kings, but they bowed down to the Lord, let alone the followers. Lord Krishna then said, now our lives are successful. We have obtained the goal of life, the audience of great sages and yoga masters, which even demigods only rarely obtain. The water at a holy place of pilgrimage of the deity forms of the gods can purify one only after a long time. But saintly persons purify just by being seen. That you just see, you get purified. Those who identify themselves with their bodies and neglect to honor transcendental sages like you are no better than asses. Right? Because donkeys, they don't really make a distinction. They're not out, you know, offering respects. They just carry their burden, and it doesn't matter what's going on around them. They just do their work, and at the end of the day, get a little grass to eat. And hari bol. Right? After hearing Lord Krishna speak these words in the mood of a mere mortal, the sages remained silent for some time, bewildered. Then they said, how amazing our Lord is. He covers his true identity with human-like activities and pretends to be subject to superior control. Surely he has spoken in this way only to enlighten the general populace. Such behavior of his is indeed inconceivable. Right? Because we get a little position, we become immediately proud. While he is the supreme controller of everything, and he's not proud at all. He just plays his role according to his position. That's all he does. The sages continue to glorify the Lord as the supreme personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, and the friend and worshiper of the Brahmanas. After the sages had praised him, Lord Krishna offered them his obeisances. And they begged his permission to return to their hermitages. But just then, Vasudev came forward, bowed to the sages, and asked, what activities can one perform to be free from the bondage of fruit and work? The sages replied, by worshipping the Supreme Lord Hari, through the performance of Vedic sacrifices, you will become free from the bondage of fruit and work. Right? So when these Vedic sacrifices are engaged in the Lord's service, you become freed from the fruitive work. Because why do people perform the Vedic sacrifices? For fruitive results. But when you perform them to please Krishna, you're freed from fruitive work. Therefore, everything that you have, all your duties, if you do them to please Krishna, then you're freed from the fruitive aspect that is there in that activity. Okay? It doesn't mean you have to get rid of the activity, you have to get rid of the mentality. Okay? It's too easy to get rid of the activity. Harder to get rid of the mentality. Vasudeva then requested the sages to act as his priests, and he arranged for Vedic sacrifices to be formed with super excellent paraphernalia. Afterwards, Vasudeva presented the priests with valuable gifts of cows and jewelry, and also with marriageable Brahmin girls. He then performed the ritual bath, marking the end of the sacrifice, and fed everyone sumptuously, even the village dogs. Next, he gave ample gifts to his relatives, the various kings and others, who all took Sri Krishna's leave and returned to their own homes. Unable to depart because of his intense affection for his relatives, Nanda Maharaj remained at Kurukshetra for 3 months, served with reverence by the Yadavas. On one occasion, Vasudeva began to describe the deep friendship Nanda had shown him, shedding tears openly. At the end of 3 months, Nanda left for Mathura with the fond farewells of all the Yadavas. When the Yadavas finally saw that the rainy season was about to begin, they returned to Dwarka, where they related all that had happened at Kurukshetra to the residents of their capital, right? Because they could have stayed longer, but rainy season was coming, so therefore then they all went back to their respective places. So we see this here. They came for that ceremony after that yajna. They took the bath, that was enough. That they took the bath, talked to the sages, and then that's actually the essence. Then also they did some yajnas, and that's nice. But after that they could have left, but Nanda Baba couldn't, the affection he had for all the relatives and Krishna and all, so he remained, so they remained. there. But then they saw it was time to go, and so then they all went back to their places.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaurav.